Fears of a wider Middle East conflict have intensified this weekend after Iran launched a barrage of drones and ballistic missiles towards Israel. Iran's top commanders say it was in retaliation for a suspected Israeli attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria earlier this month, which killed 7 Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps members, including 2 generals. For where we are now, we've reached Jamie Levin. He is a Middle East expert and an associate professor of political science at St. Francis Xavier University in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello, Mr. Levin.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what do you make of the events that have unfolded over the weekend?
What I make of it is that we have seen a major escalation, as you noted. This is a response, Iran claims, to the alleged Israeli assassination on April 1st of a high-ranking official, the highest-ranking official that Israel has assassinated. This is General Zahedi, who is the general of the Quds Brigade of the Revolutionary Guards and is more or less in charge of Iran's shadow war against Israel. And Iran has responded with a multimodal attack. It seized on Saturday a civilian cargo ship in the Straits of Hormuz, which is a crucial global shipping lane. It sent 185 drones against Israel, 36 cruise missiles, and 110 surface-to-air missiles, including ballistic missiles. This is an attack of a staggering scale, a major escalation, but it largely failed. There was minor damage to the Israeli Air Force Base, the Netavim Air Force Base in the south of the country, which is where its fleet of F-35s are located, and the only major civilian casualty is a 7-year-old Bedouin girl in Israel. This was the first test of Israel's Arrow anti-ballistic defense system. That's the big brother of the Iron Dome, and it worked flawlessly. And Israel's allies, seeing their interests aligned with Israel, came to its aid. Jordan, the UK, and the United States all aided in Israel intercepting these attacks. According to the Israeli military, 99% of the aerial threats launched against it were intercepted.
Okay, can you just explain that to me a little bit? Are you saying that the UK and the US, from UK and US territory, were able to intercept some of these?
No, so Jordan did intercept from its own territory, Israel from its territory. The UK mostly backfed the U.S. Support in the region, most notably in Iraq, and that freed up the American Air Force to intercept in the region.
Okay, so what kind of response are we expecting now from Israel?
The response from Israel, that is the big question at this point. There have been certain red lines that have been established between Israel and Iran in this shadow war. In particular, Iran has used proxies to attack and harass Israel. Here I'm thinking about Hamas, Hezbollah, and more recently the Houthi rebels in Yemen. And Israel has been content to limit its responses in certain ways. In particular, it has acted to prevent the Iran's Revolutionary Guards from establishing a foothold directly on its borders. Here I'm thinking in Lebanon and Syria. Most notably, it has used sabotage and things like this to disrupt the Iranian nuclear program, and it has assassinated what I would call mid-level management. What that has done is kept this proxy war at a pretty low simmer. The two powers have been at a distance, and when Israel responds, it typically responds against Iranian proxies. The assassination of a high-ranking Iranian official and the massive counterattack by Iran directly on Israel, this signals a major escalation. The attack, of course, has also drawn in other actors. Really, for the first time, the U.S., the U.K., and Jordan are now actively involved in this conflict. So what we're seeing is a wider conflict and one that threatens to spiral at this point.
Okay, Mr. Levin, I don't have a ton of time with you left, but I do want to know what it is that you're expecting we might see or what you will be watching for in the coming days.
Yes, I think so. On for its part, Iran has called the attack a success and has said that it's over. But if this attack was meant to restore its deterrent capabilities at Israel, to disincentivize Israel from attacking generals and high-level management, or if it was meant to save face domestically, to be able to project power inside Iran, it has failed. So I will, on the one hand, be looking at Iran to see if it is true that this attack is truly over. On the other hand, I'll be looking at Israel. President Biden over the weekend told Israel to take the win. The attack failed, and Israel's response looked perfect, and its allies came to its end. But there are those inside the Israeli cabinet who see this as a major escalation, the first time that Iran is attacking it directly, and are agitating to bring the war to Iran and continue what they started in Gaza. In particular, they have paused the attack on Rafah in southern Gaza. This is the last vestiges of Hamas, and there are those that would have them, rather than pause that attack, begin the attack post-haste.
So what are is the likelihood that we're going to see a larger escalation in a regional war here?
I think that is the great fear. I think all the factors are in play for this to escalate, for this to spread. What I will be focused on is to what extent the Americans in particular and the international community more generally look to disincentivize Israel from attacking or broadening this war. I think the obvious mechanism right now and what Israel is demanding would be increased sanctions against Iran at venues like the United Nations. The G7 convened over the weekend. The United Nations convened over the weekend. Everybody is calling for calm, but talk is cheap. These words need to be followed up by some sort of actions, and those actions, one would hope, would put a chilling effect on further military response.
Mr. Levin, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Jamie Levin is a Middle East expert and an associate professor of political science at St. Francis Xavier University. And we're just about to swing things over to the regional news with Emily.